This recording is a production of the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee. This presentation was recorded at the Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2025, held at United Christian School in Napanee, Indiana, on February 28 and March 1, 2025.
All right, well, congratulations. Obviously, if you're here, that means you just campaigned successfully, got elected, and are either in the chairman role already or vying for one. Is this the right group? Okay, well, or maybe it finally rolled around to your turn to be chairman. You talked to your wife and your doctor, and you decided that probably if you grit your teeth, hold your breath, you'll survive, you'll make it through, and the year will be over before you know it. Hopefully, neither of those extremes are true. Today we want to talk about some of the things that I found helpful in being a chairman and leading groups. A lot of this will apply to things other than just a school board, but they apply to school as well. I know when I was initially on the board and then became chairman, I didn't know how things were supposed to get done. I felt overwhelmed at times, and there's a lot of stuff that I wasn't good at and felt awkward when I was trying to do them. The good news is that feeling awkward is great. If you ever tried out a new sport, a new physical skill, you start out feeling awkward and eventually you get to know it. That means you're growing and stretching. So this is a growing and stretching opportunity for you. I'm excited for you. I did want to get an idea this morning of kind of where you are. How many of you this morning are a chairman now of the board you're on? Okay. How many of you are just another board member? Hopefully getting it next year, right? Okay. And how many of you are administrators or school staff? All right. Thank you. So a room full of chairmen. That's exciting. Hopefully we can learn together. All right. A chairman. Just some basic stuff. A chairman is the presiding officer, the guy in charge of a meeting or an organization, event, committee. And to preside means to exercise guidance, direction, or control. I think often when we think of preside, I think of the word control, but it's not necessarily control. The question is a chairman closer to a president or a moderator? And I think there's aspects of both, but I advocate that it's closer to a moderator, and we'll talk about that more. This morning I want to look at four things. First one is carrying the vision, leveraging the entire board, preparing for and leading the board meeting, and then enabling the staff. Carrying the vision. You know, one of the negatives of the fact that we don't campaign, you didn't expect this, right? One of the negatives of the fact we don't campaign is sometimes we get in and, like Jonathan talked about this morning, maybe our vision isn't that sharp. We don't know why we have school. We don't have a vision for the school personally, and that makes it really difficult to pass the vision. I think it's really important that we know the vision of our school. Know its history. Why did the school start? Who helped start it? Talk to founders. I know some of you here have helped found your school, so that's maybe a short review. Maybe you need to wipe the dust off of old minutes or look at your mission statement and see what your school is really about. But figure it out. Talk to those people. Not only will it bless those who you talk to, you'll gain a greater appreciation for your school, for what your school is about, and what your school has done. And it kind of maybe kicks it into gear for you. I think it's also important that you understand your vision. I want to talk about this some more, but why does God have you on the board? We talk about this, in, I think, more in a church context, but we understand that there's different people in the church and there's different gifts and all those things. But why does God have you on the board? It might be just to grow you, but I also think there's a reason why he has you on the board. And secondly, I think there's a reason that your community, whether that's your church or your patron body, whoever put you on the board, they saw something in you. Now, hopefully it wasn't just your turn. If it was just your turn, maybe there's some school culture you need to talk about, and hopefully you're putting in people who can influence and who can grow your school. But develop a vision, a personal vision for the school. So there's the overarching purpose and mission of the school, and there's the reason why you're on the board. Know that, own that, understand that. Does that mean that you just drive your hobby horse every time you have a board meeting? No. But there is a you bring a unique contribution. So know that and own that and have that vision for the school and for where it's going and how you can contribute. And finally, pass the vision. I think sometimes it's easy to put in our time, and if we're putting in our time on the board, we miss it. But champion the school to parents, to your church or your churches, to the community, to your youth, to sponsors or donors, but be the champion for the school, advocate for the school. Again, you're going to be hearing other things, but be there and support the school, speak up for it. Make sure you're updating your school community. So the board meets once a month in most cases, and you talk about lots of things that are happening at the school, whether it's replacing the driveway or fixing the lights or what's going on with students. As much as appropriate, update, keep your church, your community aware of what's going on. You know, the school is obviously doing their part to update what's happening with day-to-day things, but then keep that vision alive, talk to your church. One of the things we started doing at the end of our board meetings is we have a recap and we come up with two or three bullet points that we'll announce to the church. It was something that we were supposed to do and I kept forgetting about it. So we now talk about what are we going to announce to the church from the things we talked about. And together we can kind of identify the highlights, things that we're talking about, and put it together. Maintain and update your written policies. This is a really valuable tool. I don't know if all of you have written policies. I think it's a great idea. We've actually started, we have a rotation. So we have three different policy sections and we just rotate through one every year. So there's about four, that means four pages a night on 8 or 10 board meetings a year. And then that way every 3 years we cover each policy. We know what's going on. It's not that somebody wrote it 20 years ago and it's now collecting dust in a bin somewhere. But just keeping that alive, and it's part of passing on that vision. You know what was the intent was, and I think it's also important to update them. And then train new board members. I'm really excited. I kind of was disappointed that said the training new board member session was concurrent, but it's so important. Train the new board member, and if you're the chairman now, please train the next chairman. How do you talk with how do you talk with teachers about renewing their contract? How do you talk with the principal when there's a difficult conversation? How do you talk to the church when there's a problem with funds? How do you address all those things, all those hard things? And sometimes I can feel like I have to plow through it by myself, but take the next chairman or take the rest of the board with you. Make sure they know how you're handling it. Doesn't mean that's gonna be exactly how they handle it, but a lot of those things, if you don't pass it on, it's not going to happen, or somebody else is gonna have to fumble through it and stumble through it and try to figure it out. So again, the things we talked about here under carrying the vision is know the vision, own your vision, and pass the vision. Next one is leverage the entire board. Now, the word leverage can have some negative connotations. Sometimes it's used in finance, sometimes it's used to do other things, but I still think ultimately the intent is to use the entire board. And I kind of like the word leverage too, because sometimes you have to pry a little bit. But make sure you have everyone there. 1 Corinthians 12:27 talks about, now you're the body of Christ and members in particular. Just like your tool chest doesn't have just one tool. Not everything needs a hammer, even though sometimes it feels like it always needs a hammer. And not everything needs a hammer. But go through and address those things, understand and value each other. All of you have different experiences. Some of your board members may have teaching experience. Some of them may own a business. They may have done construction, worked as an accountant. They know how to fix a car. That's not me. A computer, maybe electrical. Not everyone is a salesman. And in some cases, not everyone is even a dad. When I first came in as chairman, I was following a chairman who was just really good at fixing stuff. He was fantastic. And I kind of felt obligated that I had to go and fix stuff, which is, if you know me, that's not a good thing. And then in time, I discovered, fortunately, my dad is good at fixing stuff. And so I started asking him, hey, can you help out with these maintenance items? And it really freed me up to focus on some stuff. I have some teaching experience in some of that, and I can actually pour into the school more by channeling my energy that way instead of focusing on trying to fix stuff, which is just hopeless. Another thing is that all of you have, everyone on your board has different gifts. It is really easy for us to get annoyed at people's giftings. You may do really one thing and don't understand why someone else doesn't do well. There's spiritual gifts. Some of you, there's different things, and that verse in Corinthians talks about that, where that section, where all of us have different spiritual gifts, and we can minister, we can speak, we can teach, we can do those different things, and we forget sometimes that the things that come easy for us aren't easy for others. That ties into our natural abilities. When there was a friend of mine who was a really gifted physician, a gifted musician, and she was talking about when she was in school for music, she could hear a pitch interval once and couldn't remember it. So she knew what a fifth, what a seventh, what a third sounded like. She heard that interval once and she could replicate it any time from any pitch. I love music, but that's not me. I spent hours practicing, could never reach that level. But that wasn't something she worked at. It didn't make her better. She was just really good at it, and she had that natural ability. Hear it once, and she's good to go. There's some tools that I've used, specifically Working Genius, I've used a lot. It's an assessment. It looks at different abilities and gifts your board has, and then you can understand how you work together. There's also disc profiles, and there's some other tools. I strongly encourage boards, if you haven't done that, an exercise like that, I would recommend Working Genius, but there's also others that work really well. Know each other, understand each other. It really reduces the friction when one person is always the dreamer and has all these great ideas, but he just can't get in to fix the plumbing, you know. That balance, understand how each other works. Doesn't make excuses, but it does help you understand each other and help you use each other more effectively on the board. All right, preparing for and leading the board meeting. Hopefully, this is not the way your board meeting looks.
It gets too late.
Why do we have meetings? Yes?
Stay current.
Stay current? Okay.
Make decisions.
Cast vision.
Okay.
Solve problems.
Okay.
Keep everyone heading in the same direction.
All right. Okay. Good. All right. So, which one of these is most like a good meeting? Is it like a chili cook-off where you show up, there's 10 pots of chili, you go through, you taste each one, and you figure out which one is the best? Or is it like building a house? I'm going to argue it's like building a house, and I'll tell you why. We'll talk about this. I'm going to talk about this a little bit later, but ultimately I think a meeting is a group of people who gather together to solve a problem, to find a solution, to address situations together. It's not you by yourself. It's not may the best idea win. It's let's build the best idea. I think a written agenda is critical to a good meeting. Preparing for it and sharing it ahead of time is super critical. There's most likely introverts on your team who, at the end of the board meeting, they've processed what you started with and now have a good idea. There's an older man from our church. I really enjoy his input in meetings, but he's often the one who comes along, and after we've had a lot of conversation, he speaks, and you're like, oh, well, yeah, I should have thought of that, but, you know, just that time. So if you give them time to process, and especially if it's something like a quote or a detailed proposal or something new, get that out ahead of time, 3 days at a time. My goal is always to get our agenda out 3 days ahead of time so people have plenty of time to process, know what you're going to talk about. You're going to collect that from, and I really advocate preparing that with the principal or administrator of your school. So if you're the chairman, work with the principal administrator. Get that ready. Then some other places, last meeting's minutes, I always carry over anything that isn't done. We keep on the agenda until it is done. An annual agenda, so we have stuff. So every month we have a list of things we need to get accomplished that month. So like in July, we're always preparing for our annual meeting. In June, we prepare our budget for the next one. In September, we talk about the start of school and where we are with tuition and how everyone's doing. So there's just all those monthly checklist. If you don't have that, it's a lifesaver, especially as you transition and make sure things don't get lost. And then there's going to be board members, staff, and other stakeholders that help you out with a lot of that. I put in a template here. There can be a lot of different ways to look at your agenda, but in general, you start with an intro. That could be, we have our mission statement as part of our intro, so we start with prayer. We read our mission statement every month, just so we kind of keep that in mind as we make decisions. There's reports, financial reports, how you're performing as budget, how what the cash statements are at that time. Staff reports is a really valuable thing, so either your staff is there in person or they email something to the administrator who then reads off their report. We use action items and discussion items. It's a little bit up to the board. Instead of old business and new business, that's kind of the typical format, but we use action items and discussion items. Action are things you're acting on or you need to discuss and act on going forward. A discussion item then is just things you're talking about, and if, let's say, your board wraps and you're like, you finalize what you're going to do, the next time it moves up to an action item is because it's something you're acting on. But action versus discussion is just what you expect the outcome to be. Information items, sometimes it's just a reminder, like, hey, comes off the annual agenda, next month is the program, make sure you're an usher, you're going to be ushering, and make sure you're there at 6 o'clock before it starts, that kind of thing. And then closing, and again, that's where we always set the next meeting and then talk about our summary to report to the church. All right, leading the meeting. Well, how much time do I have left? I thought I had it memorized and I don't. Till 11 o'clock. Okay, all right, I feel better now. So Robert's Rules of Order is kind of the standard for how boards conduct their business. We don't follow that exact format. There's one that I think is a little bit more friendly. Is called the within Robert's Rules of Order. There's one called for small boards. That's a little bit closer to what we do. There's some key ideas there that I did want to cover. Hopefully your board does this already, but it's just I think some good reminders and some things that I picked up along the way. So in an orderly meeting, everyone takes turns speaking. And unlike Robert's rules, the chairman doesn't recognize each person. You don't have to stand to talk and all that stuff. But it's still, everyone takes turns speaking. One of the ideas I did pick up, though, is that you can, as a board, ask each person to speak before someone speaks twice. And so instead of John, who always has all the great ideas, talks once, and then Bill says a little bit of something, and John says something again, and then maybe one of the others. It can be good to just get everyone's input and then talk together. Now, that may depend on how formal the situation is. It'll depend on how big your board is. But really, it's very, very important to make sure you get everyone engaged. I can sometimes get too involved in a discussion and like, oh, wait, so-and-so hasn't even said anything yet. Just draw those people in, draw your introverts in, help them to engage in the discussion as well. It's really important not to move toward action after the first person speaks. Robert's rules technically say you make the motion and then you discuss the motion, and then if you vote up or down that idea. I am more comfortable with, as I said earlier, building that idea. So you start the topic, and then you discuss it, and then you come to an opinion. I tend to drive toward consensus rather than just picking one idea, voting it up or down, then discussing another idea. It's very important as a chairman that you make sure your team follows the agenda. If you hit a bunny trail, which I think invariably happens in almost every board meeting, make sure, just grab that idea and, like, you know, you're talking about the driveway and someone mentions that there's something wrong with the playground, just put that on the agenda and write it down at the bottom. Even if you never discuss it at that meeting, at least it's on the agenda. You can table it when you get to it and then get back to the driveway so you can finish that conversation. It'll shorten your board meeting, and I think it'll drive value and everyone will be more engaged. Make sure when you present ideas as a chairman, when you read off the agenda, when you introduce the next topic, that you do it without bias. You know, if you roll your eyes and talk about the teacher who wants a projector in a classroom, it'll negatively impact the discussion, especially if somebody, you know, on your team really thinks we should do that. Make sure you're presenting without bias. It's really good for the chairman to speak last. The chairman can, as often the chairman is one of the more experienced people on the board, and if you give your opinion too early, you can really shut down the conversation and it doesn't go anywhere. Everyone just jumps on board, and really you're there to add value, but if they just need your opinion, then the rest of them are unnecessary. And finally, make really sure that decisions are clear. If you're going to vote on something, restate what you think you're voting on. Sometimes it's alarming to discover that the rest of the board thought you were voting on something different or your proposal was different. So make sure everyone understands what you're voting on. I have a friend who does really well at that, even like in a church setting. Sometimes we're having a conversation and someone makes a motion and we are ready to vote. And then he always says, now this is what we're voting on. So restate what we're talking about. If you drive toward consensus and you think you have it, just restate it, make sure your board understands, yeah, this is exactly what we're talking about. So things that I find are best practices. One is start on time. Hold each other accountable to be there, to get done, or to get started right on time. I know things happen, but if you develop that habit, it just really helps things go well. Don't go too long, which I think can be a habit of boards everywhere. How long do you think, so there's been studies, what do you think the longest that most people can handle in a board meeting or that type of setting and have it be productive? What's the longest you think?
2 hours.
2 hours.
90 minutes.
90 minutes. How many of your board meetings are less than hour and a half to 2 hours? All right, good. Some of you are doing better than some of the rest of us. But yes, 2 hours is about the max attention span for anyone. So just be mindful of that as you're doing. One of the things we've actually started doing is we set a desired end time, because there's, you know, sometimes your agenda is longer than others, but we say, hey, okay, we're starting now at 6. We think we can be done by 8:15, or we can be done by 8 o'clock, or whatever that is. But set a target end time, and then watch how you're doing, and it really, as a chairman, it helps you get a feel for it, too. Like, man, we took really long at this point. We got a good discussion done. But make sure you know before the meeting starts what the priorities are in your agenda. What do you have to get to, you know? Yeah, we want to talk about, maybe the principal was going to talk about what they're going to do for a Christmas program next year, but that may not be the most important thing if you need to get to, where are we on recruiting teachers? Just know your priorities, make sure you know where they're at before you start, so that if you need to table something for the next meeting, you can do that. Remember that you're responsible for conducting the meeting. Again, this is where I think it's more of a, you're conducting the meeting, you're not supposed to have the best idea. And this I learned from Gerald Miller many years ago. It's a teaching technique, and it's also great for board meetings. Just be more comfortable with silence than anyone else. Sometimes if you're the one in charge of the meeting, this can be especially true if you're having a big, you know, like a meeting with your church or like a something like that. It can be, if you can be more comfortable with silence than everybody else, then pretty soon someone's going to be uncomfortable enough to start talking and say what they think. All right, and then the one that gets me is the follow through. Take action. Get things done. Make sure everyone owns the decision. So even if you decided to gravel the drive instead of concrete like you thought, you should be there, help make it happen, call the contractor, get it done. Be an example to the rest of your board in getting things accomplished. And this isn't my strong suit. That's probably why I have it on here and I'm having it, because I need to get better at this, just making sure it gets done. Hold each other accountable. It can make for some really uncomfortable conversations if that thing you were trying to get done, someone hasn't gotten it done yet, but respectfully hold each other accountable. And if it happens a couple times, you know, be understanding, and maybe you need to switch it to somebody else. Maybe someone else needs to be assigned to it, but ask that question. It's really frustrating for staff if we don't get the bathroom fixed, if we don't get things done that we've said we were going to do, we want to do, and we don't get it done. It is frustrating for them. And so I think it's one way we can show respect and appreciation for them if we get those things done. And then our habit is that we keep a task on the agenda until it's done. So if you do decide to do something, just don't decide to do it and then it's never on the agenda again. Keep it on there until it's done. Because sometimes it's the one way that things actually do get accomplished. All right. And finally, enabling the staff. Sometimes enabling is used in a bad way. We talk about it being, you know, enabling someone with an addiction, things like that. That's not what we're talking about here. Instead, we're talking about providing someone with the means or opportunity, or to make it possible, practical, or easy. I think those are all things we can do and want to do for our staff. Three things I want to talk about today is we want to provide for them, we want to look and listen, and we want to support them. So providing for our staff, we want to make sure they have the tools and the equipment, the resources they need to do their job. Do they have blackboards? Do they have, you know, if we can do it, can they do a PowerPoint? Do they have enough desks? Do they have all that stuff? Do they have what they need to have a good classroom? Hopefully your classroom doesn't look like this, but again, if that's what you needed, sometimes I look at those schools in Africa and I think, wow, they have a very limited list of resources, and yet they're effectively teaching, and someone has made sure they have the resources they do. Training is another thing we can provide for teachers. It could be faith builders or conferences, summer classes. I think Christian Light does some training, but just make sure that you're helping them out with those things. Leadership training. I don't know what your school does for your new principals, but I think it's really important that we provide leadership training. It's not just that you're now you went from being a teacher to being principal and everything's the same, it's just a different title. You're now the leader of the school. And are you making sure that you fill those gaps? You know, a lot of your board members may be leaders in businesses, and if you have a younger man coming into that role, stepping in and helping them learn from the things you've learned, bring them into your business and show them how you relate to your staff or how you hold a staff meeting with your employees. They're not school kids, but they are, or they're not teachers, but they still, a lot of the same things apply. Make sure you define the expectations for the teachers. And this is kind of an interesting one. You know, you think that providing expectations isn't really a thing, right? But how many of you like doing a job where you're not sure what it is you're supposed to be doing and how you know if you did it well? None of us like that, right? It's a little frustrating. So make sure your teachers know what you expect and how they're doing toward what you expect. Look and listen. What do the grounds and building look like? Are they kept up? Is something broken? Do you do walkthroughs? We do some walkthroughs as part of our board meetings occasionally. And then we make sure we're listening to the staff and addressing those things. And then be aware of the financial needs of your staff. I know we're paying them. For the most part, I haven't seen any, been featured in any How to Be a Millionaire stories yet. So be aware. Sometimes there are, you know, special needs that we need to address and we can bring to our church or supporting community and we can address. But look and listen. Make sure you're aware and connected. And finally, support. Again, you are not the staff. You are not there every day. Don't try to do their job, but be involved and understand what's going on and what the frustrations and pain points are. Protect the flow of communication and responsibility. I feel strongly that if a parent has a problem with a teacher, the communication starts with the teacher. That doesn't mean we don't ever answer their phone, but we talk with them, and you know, if nothing else, you can always say, well, what did Miss Yoder say when you talked to her? And then it can head down the path of, you know, let's start there. And it feels so much better, even if eventually, you know, if they talk to Miss Yoder and you need to get involved, if you go to them and talk to Miss Yoder, she already knows there's a concern, there's a problem, and it's not that they're getting blindsided because all of a sudden the board is coming to talk to them and they have no idea what's going on. I firmly believe, and hopefully you do too, that your teachers are believers and that they're growing and doing their best every day, just like we as parents are. And I also believe that they make mistakes and they will cause pain and hurt in children. And sometimes they don't recognize that. But be aware and make sure you're protecting that flow. Have the staff's back. Recognize that you hired them for a reason, hopefully, and be there for them, but also provide the correction as you need it. And finally, make sure you keep looking ahead. Sometimes a board can get so sucked into managing a day-to-day thing that they aren't looking ahead, they aren't looking out, seeing what's coming, what's going on, and they can get too involved. But look at the big picture and keep looking ahead. All right, so again, enabling the staff, we want to make sure we provide, we look and listen, and we support them. All right, so things we've looked at today, the responsibility of the board is, or responsibility of the chairman, is carrying the vision, leveraging the entire board, prepare and lead the board meeting, and enabling the staff. All right, I think we have about 10 minutes left, and my voice is about gone, so I'll open up for discussions and questions. For me or for the general group here, and we'll go that way. So questions are on the topic or chairman responsibilities in general.
Does it make a difference in your vision? I heard a lot out here about, you know, kind of in a fun way. You know, did we campaign and do we look forwards to it? Yeah. And does it make a difference if we dread the job or if we look forwards to it? Does that,
yeah.
In our conservative circles, it's not a popular thing to look forwards to it. And I think back to a minister that told me he loves to preach and he's not ashamed to say it. Mm-hmm. What? How does our... Am I hitting too many bunny trails?
Yeah, okay. That's a great question. If you're dreading it, does it impact your work?
I think it definitely impacts it. But I think once you are appointed and voted in, if you let yourself in and think of it as, okay, God put me in here, now I'm going to put my whole heart into it, it can really open up a broad view that you haven't seen before you actually got into that position.
Yes, one thing I was thinking of is that what we did, some of us did the working genius.
Uh-huh.
And you don't have to do that to know each other's uh-huh. strengths. But like, I'm not one to do a interview for a teacher. But there's another guy on the board that does it. And you kind of feel as the chairman, maybe you're supposed to do it. it's not me, he does it and it works fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you can do things like that, rather than hate your job, mm-hmm. let somebody else that knows what they're doing do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a great example, thank you.
From a church standpoint, I'm a church leader, but you know, our job isn't a job to do everything. It's our job to find a good person to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Delegation.
And maybe make sure it gets done.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's a good point. That's a good add-on.
I'm just curious how you all do it for finding teachers. Is it solely the chairman's responsibility to make contacts, or is it the committee set up to help with that?
We all work together, so that we have a three-person board and a ministerial rep and an admin, and all of us are working together. That's how we do it. And often the principal is the first one who does the first interview. The board engages as well, but it's in general, that's a little bit how we do it. So, but I know there's lots of different applications. What some of the rest of you? Is that a chairman job or how do you handle it?
We kind of delegate it out. We come to the meeting. I'll give the board a heads up of what we need. I usually go to our administrator and our head teacher the same and say, what do you need for the coming year? He'll get back to me, tell me what they need for staffing. Then I go to the board and say, this is what we need. This is what we're expecting, and then we all put our ideas in, mm-hmm. and then go from there. And our policy, just for what it's worth, is if unless there's a problem, we automatically ask our existing teachers mm-hmm. back the next year. Mm-hmm. And then when we know somebody's not coming back, then we bring the names together, discuss them, and then it's not necessarily me as the chairman that goes to that mm-hmm. person. It can be any of us. And mm-hmm. if it is, we tend to categorize it. We're going to start with so-and-so, then we go to so-and-so, then we go to so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
So. Unfortunately, for the last, I'm not sure how many years it's been since we've actually had a teacher outside of our own church.
Oh, wow.
We're blessed.
Good for you. That's great. Yes.
So ours is a little similar to what you mentioned. Our principal helps with the hiring. He's very, very involved, and he reaches out to people, and he's connected, goes to teacher mm-hmm. meetings and things, so he usually tees up. He does the first interview,
mm-hmm.
and if he feels like it's a good candidate, a fit for a school, then he'll set up a follow-up interview with the hiring committee. We have a subcommittee in the board, but the chairman always forms part of that, so the chairman and another member will do the follow-up interview.
Mm-hmm.
All the board members are invited, but the chairman and the hiring point man is expected to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's positive, then the principal working with the chairman issues the offer, and then the chairman signs it.
Mm-hmm.
We've also learned that it's less work, takes more discipline, on an ongoing basis, but the more we pour into the teachers we do have, the less we have to hire.
Mm-hmm. Right. Invest in what you have, right?
So again, I make a comment on his original question, yeah. Back to that for a minute, is just, I appreciate your joke about campaigning, but I do feel like we as Anabaptists could swing a little further that way mm-hmm. than we do. And I just feel like I don't want. There's no signs in my yard, or I hope it's not yours. But I think we do it. There's a false humility around leadership in the Anabaptist circle a lot, and there's this theory that the lot fell on me, or the Bible just speaks the opposite of that. That to be called to be a bishop is a worthy calling. To be a deacon, all those things are callings that God has in our lives, and I think. school board chairman is no different, and, and which, so I appreciate all your points of leading well and giving 100%. But I think we could grab the bull by the horns a little better sometimes and say, God is calling me to do this. This is the calling on my life for the next 5 years, whatever that is, and then do it with all our heart.
Yes.
With that, you have to be willing to not be reelected or elected. In our community, our pastors encourage volunteering your gifts, and so we have people that volunteer, and occasionally they don't get taken up, and it takes humility at that point too. And so it takes boldness to volunteer and humility to not be accepted. But it's a good experience either way. I'm curious how many here have campaigned or at least volunteered.
You're going to volunteer that information? No, that's a good question.
So I'll be vulnerable. I served 2 terms, and when my second term was up, I felt like we were only half done with the work ahead, and so I wrote a short email and sent it to the pastors where I was volunteering and asked them to share it with the whole church, the whole congregation, and they did, and I was accepted again. But now I need to deliver on what I mentioned in the email that I would like to continue working on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'm really curious how many people have volunteered. Is that odd?
Our schools. A year old, well, this is our second year, and everybody volunteered to get it started, and we're still the board.
Okay.
So, good. At this point, everybody volunteered.
Good for you. Thank you. And you did as well? Okay. I don't know that I volunteered, but I also had the awkward opportunity to modify our policies and allow people to be reelected. So we used to have just 1 term, and then you had to be off for at least 2 years. And it came up, and so I was the chairman and was the one who said, okay, so how do you feel about letting people serve 2 terms? And then got put back in. So I don't know that I volunteered, but it was close.
How long are you?
6 years.
6 years.
We have three-person board, including a treasurer, and that. Someone gets replaced every 2 years.
We have 5-year terms, and you're allowed 2 consecutive. Okay.
All right, we're almost at time. Any last-minute questions? Yes.
This might be a treasury question. But
sure.
What percentage of the budget is made up by tuition versus donations, fundraising?
Okay.
Just in general.
All right, that's a long question, but I'm going to start here. How many of you, tuition makes up at least 50% of your income? Okay, 75% of your income? 100% of your income? All right, so it looks like, yeah. Did that give you the information you wanted? All right, thank you.